And continuing the theme of the day, our gospel lesson is drawn from the 20th chapter of John's gospel, beginning with the 19th verse. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. Again, may God add a blessing to this reading of good news from John's gospel. Pray with me. O Lord, send your Spirit afresh into our hearts, so that our minds and our hearts may be open to you, so that we may understand this word, so that we may understand this life that we are called to live, and may give glory to you as we learn of you, revealed to us, as your servant Jonathan Edwards said, in the book of nature and in the book of Scripture. All in Christ's name. Amen. Now today, technically speaking, it is the choir who will do the preaching through their song. So I will reflect for just a moment with you. Here we have the church calendar and the civil calendar coming seemingly into conflict as Pentecost and Mother's Day have to share the spotlight. But as I thought about it, this is really one of those felix culpa, happy fault moments, which just might help us to think in a new and fresh way. Let me explain. Often it is difficult for us to think about the Holy Spirit and the Spirit's work. What Reverend Brink said was absolutely correct. The Spirit of all the persons of the Trinity is the hardest to understand. We live in a time when spirits are what we see talked about on Medium or in some horror movie. Spirits are either those of the dead, ghosts, or vengeful things, poltergeists that knock stuff off walls, or demons who come in and spew pea soup or something. So, am I showing my age, The Exorcist? So to celebrate the descent, the coming of the Lord's Spirit in fullness is hard for us to understand and to mesh with our popular thought. Here's where Mother's Day comes in handy. When we read Genesis, we see the Spirit of God brooding over the face of the waters. In other words, it is God's Spirit that will take the watery chaos, in Hebrew, tohu vabohu, a formless, shapeless void, and will turn that into our world. That gives us the picture of the Spirit of God as Mother, as one who brings form to formlessness, order out of chaos, life where there is none, a sense of well-being and belonging when we lack it, and assures us of love. What moms do for us, this is what God sends the Spirit to do. Now, if we had more time, I could also go into, as I have in the past, how we can also see Jesus as mother. For example, the church in the mind of the church fathers and many mystics is born out of the wounded side of Christ. We'll leave that for another time. And I'll just stick to the Holy Spirit for a moment. One of the great spiritual and intellectual forces that formed Christianity in England and America actually came out of Germany. It's called Pietism. And it was a stress on heart religion, that is, on a religion of experience. So Pietism and Puritanism do in many ways go hand in hand. Perhaps the greatest Pietist figure was Nicholas, Count von Zinzendorf of Herrnhut. Zinzendorf would have a profound influence on the development of the Moravian Church and by extension of Methodism. And let me remind you that at one time there were more Methodist churches in the United States than there were post offices. Now, well, that's because they were organizing to beat the devil and they just organized. That's the name of a great book called, you know, Wherever Two or Three Methodists Are Together, You'll Have Six Committees. No offense to our mother, our Methodist brothers and sisters. They have the organization that we Congregationalists long for, you know, because we're the group that circle the wagons and shoot into the middle. Anyway, Zinzendorf came to the conviction that the best way to talk about the Holy Spirit was as mother. He isn't trying to get into gender games, though the Hebrew word for spirit, ruach, is feminine. Rather, he's trying to help us understand the community in the Godhead, the Trinity, that draws us into life and holds us in relationship. Zinzendorf explicated his doctrine of the Holy Spirit, proclaiming that she is a mother in three distinct ways. First, it was the Spirit, not Mary, who was the true mother of Jesus, since she prepared him in the womb, hovered over him, and finally brought him into the light. She, the Spirit, gave him, Jesus, certainly into the arms of his mother, but with invisible hands carried him more than his mother did. Second, the Spirit is the mother of all living things because she has a special role in the ongoing creation of the world. It is known, Zinzendorf said, that the Holy Spirit brings everything to life. And when the man was made from a clump of earth, the Holy Spirit was very close through the breathing of the breath of God into the man. Thus, the Holy Spirit is the mother of all living souls in a general way. The Holy Spirit is also the mother in a third and most important sense. She is the mother of the church and of all those who have been reborn. The Holy Spirit, he says, is the only mother of those souls who have been once born out of the side hole of Jesus as the true womb of all blessed souls. Zinzendorf bases this understanding of the Spirit giving birth to converted souls in large part on Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus in John 3. Jesus told Nicodemus that he must be born again, not from his mother's womb, but from God. Nicodemus knew that we are born from a mother, not a father. But he did not know who this mother was. Zinzendorf has Jesus' reply. There is another mother, not the one who physically gave you birth. That one doesn't matter. You must have another mother who will give you birth. Ultimately, then, the Holy Spirit is the mother of the Christian in the sense that she is the active agent in conversion. Human actors are only agents of the Holy Spirit, and in some cases are not even necessary for conversion. But let me be quick to add the number of mothers who have helped their children come to spiritual life, and I'll give you a key one. One whose name was Monica, who was the mother of a fellow named Augustine, who when he was an absolute rounder, whose prayer was, O Lord, make me chaste, but not yet. Monica kept praying, and eventually this man was converted and then became one of the greatest theologians that the Western Church has ever known. All because of a mother's prayer. So moms, realize you have power because you're right there with the Holy Spirit. So today, celebrate mom and grandmother and remember that as they have nurtured, there is a mother who has come to nurture us and grow us into the full stature of Christ, to which all of us are called, the Holy Spirit. So come, Holy Spirit, give new birth to Christ's church. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Renew and revive us. Nurture us to be the children of God. Amen.
Good morning. I rarely speak to the congregation because I believe that the music speaks ever so much more eloquently than Lee Jacoby does. And although I rarely speak to you, I would dare say that if you would talk to the people behind me, they say I talk altogether too much on Thursday nights. However, I do want to address just one simple question. And it's one that I get a lot, usually in other areas of the church, and that is, how do you select the musically? Well, carefully, I guess, is the snide answer and not quite serious answer, but carefully is certainly a part of it, and to be appropriate. Over the years, I don't know if it's a tradition or not, but this custom of us coming together on Mother's Day to present a musical gift to the moms of the congregation has become important, if to no one else, surely to me, as I honor my mother in this way, who was a profound and irreplaceable influence in my life. I am often accused of selecting music all much like the English teachers in the high schools, by dead white guys. Today, this is not true at all. If you will look at the pieces we're going to sing in their titles, the first is entitled Sing We Merrily. The text comes from the Psalms, a combination of Psalm 81 and 79, and a brief quotation from the Common Book of Prayer. Written by an American from New York, Robert Powell, who still is very active as an organist and composer today. The next, the prayer of St. Richard of Chichester, who was born in 1197 and certainly qualifies to be a dead white guy. However, this was set by an English composer, Anthony Baldwin. And then the nod to Pentecost, to which Dr. Page has so eloquently spoke in one of the great Pentecostal hymns, Holy Spirit, Truth Divine, by Gil Martin, a wonderful American composer. And then the oldest hymn of Christianity, Te Deum Laudamus, the translation of which is in its entirety later in your bulletin. And then finally, the ode to family and mothers in For All of Life. So now that you have been let in on the secret, we present to you our Mother's Day offering.
If I can be so rude, the legend is that the Te Deum was started when Augustine was being baptized by Ambrose, and the two of them supposedly just started singing. I don't know if it's true, but it ought to be.